On the Radio Oklahoma Network, we're talking about the waters of the United States and its impact on rural America. We're joined by American Farm Bureau resource economist Veronica Nye. As we talk about this rule, you guys had looked at it prior to developing MAP. Have you found that there was a difference in the impact of initially what you thought WOTUS would bring to the rural part of America?
Thanks for having me on the show today, Leslie. Yes, unfortunately, you know, upon reading of the final rule, we knew it was more complicated and more onerous for landowners than the proposed rule. But the MAPs really brought to life the expansion of federal jurisdictional reach over land use to the point where for the 8 states we've mapped, 97% of the acres in those states are within 4,000 feet of a water of the United States and thus subject to EPA jurisdiction.
Yeah, and with conducting these maps, again, you focused on 8 areas or 8 states, if you will. I guess, why did you choose those 8 states?
We focused on states that had a wide geographic coverage where the landscape looked very different from state to state. So the 8 states that we've mapped thus far are Montana, Pennsylvania, Virginia, Missouri, New York, California, Wisconsin, and, of course, Oklahoma. And, you know, the folks know that those states do look very different, and we were trying to really see what the impact would be on the ground given the different geographies. And it was pretty telling that this rule is incredibly vague and written to a degree that allows all of those different landscapes to be covered.
Did you find that the impact of WOTUS, does it impact some states more than others?
It does. For example, Oklahoma, 95% of the state is within 4,000 feet of a buffer. For a state like Virginia and Missouri, virtually 100% of the state is within that 4,000-foot zone. But for Wisconsin, 92% of the state is within 4,000 feet. So there is some variation, but certainly the level of coverage is high, really irrespective of the state.
In looking at Oklahoma, you looked at basically 3 main areas, and I guess so what did you find in terms of what its impact would be to the state?
We did. We looked at 3 different areas, and actually those are the ones that we published. We actually looked at 8 different areas in Oklahoma, and they all are very, very similar. The Panhandle, a little bit less coverage just because of the geography, but what we find is for those 3 sites that we looked at, virtually all of the landscape was within jurisdictional reach of EPA. So basically how the maps worked is we took a base layer and looked at what we thought the jurisdiction was prior to this new rule. And then we added different layers through a progression that added things like ephemeral streams, which are those low spots in the land that drain and channel water away from farmland after a rain but are otherwise dry. Under the new rule, those are now WOTUS and thus subject to EPA's reach. And so we applied these different layers within 100 feet of a WOTUS, and then within 1,500 feet of a water of the United States, and then finally a 4,000 feet within zone from that water of the United States. Those are relevant to the rule. Under some of those zones, EPA has automatic jurisdiction, and under others, they have case-by-case jurisdiction. But what we really found upon reading of the rule is it's impossible for experts, let alone individual landowners, to really be comfortable and to confidently know that a water, and I will use that term loosely, on their land is not a WOTUS. So really, it brought to light that almost everything is.
So obviously, this creates a massive amount of uncertainty as to if landowners would be impacted by WOTUS.
Absolutely. And you know, I think as a landowner, I would ask, or I do ask, why should I try to identify WOTUS on the land I farm? And, you know, unpermitted discharges of pollutants into waters of the United States are unlawful, and they carry large potential penalties, even if that farmer or rancher has no knowledge that the feature is a water of the United States. If that feature is later determined to be a water of the United States, the government or citizen enforcers can reach back and impose penalties for any discharge that occurred over the past 5 years. And those penalties are more than $30,000 per day. So that's certainly a very large hammer that that all landowners should be very concerned if it were to be applied to them.
With WOTUS and its impact, how much of this jurisdiction could depend on rainfall?
That's a great question, because rainfall, as it turns out, doesn't matter that much. If under a jurisdictional determination, the Corps of Engineers and EPA can determine that at one point water flows, at some point water flows through there, that there's a bed, a bank, and an ordinary high water mark, even if water isn't present or hasn't been present for some time, that could be potentially considered a water of the United States. So I know in Oklahoma and parts of the other parts of the further southwest, there are lots of features that only carry water in the event of rainfall, and fairly rarely. But unfortunately, because of the way the rule is written, those could potentially be jurisdictional waters.
Obviously, we've talked a lot about this within the ag community, but is this expanding, or is it getting to the point that like presidential candidates are actually talking about how WOTUS is going to impact America?
It has, because as you said, we've talked a lot about in the agricultural space, but this rule really has an impact on everyone, from road builders and home builders to municipalities, cities. Anyone who lives on land, which is all of us, is potentially impacted. And so presidential candidates are starting to listen and starting to form opinions on this rule and how we could potentially unwrap it. Because as you all know, the rule took effect on the 28th of August. And so we're still trying to figure out how we can ask EPA and the Corps of Engineers to go back to the drawing board and look at this rule and reconsider it, because we think the impact is so much greater than they've estimated.
For American Farm Bureau, what's your next course of action?
We're certainly working a lot on the congressional side. Of course, the House passed a bill earlier this summer that asked EPA to go back to the drawing board. We're now focusing our energy on the Senate, trying to pass a similar bill out of that House. So, on the legislative front, certainly we have a lot of activity going on, and encourage all of our members to reach out to their elected officials and tell them how concerned you are about this rule and what impact you think it could have on you. But of course, there's also on the legal side, the American Farm Bureau has joined with another of other organizations in more than 30 states in pressing a lawsuit against EPA to ask them to repeal this rule because we don't think it matches congressional intent. So a couple of different fronts going on, and hopefully we'll prevail on one or both and get this rolled back so that it doesn't have the impacts that we really do believe are going to have a significant detriment to U.S. agriculture.
Okay. Well, today we've been joined by Veronica Nye, American Farm Bureau resource economist, as we look at the impact of WOTUS, obviously severe in Oklahoma, as basically the entire state would be potentially impacted by this rule. For the Radio Oklahoma Network and OklahomaFarmReport.com, I'm Leslie Smith.